Good morning, 738, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. That music can only mean one thing. Mayor D.C. Reeves is with us. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Glad to be with you. Good morning.
Great to have you. Hey, I don't know. I never know how much people hear the show outside of, like, you know, the interview you're coming on for. But are you familiar with Commissioner May's comments basically saying that even though he supports the land trust wholeheartedly, I didn't hear that, he also thinks that it's a kind of socialism and it takes away the possibility of making a bunch of money for the people who own a house outright. I feel like it lets people into the home ownership market at a reduced rate so they get, yeah, they don't realize all the value in the sale, but they get something, and otherwise they're never going to be able to buy a house. I know you're big on the land trust, so I wanted to give you a chance to respond.
Yeah, and Commissioner May and I discussed this, you know, at a party or a Rotary Club or wherever, whenever it comes up. And I think where you have to start, you know, my counter to that is where you have to start is one is an apple and one is an orange. If you try to force feed the community land trust model into calling it the same thing as a traditional purchase, then it's already a broken logic right there to begin with, in my opinion. And what I mean is, if you want a community land trust home, you can get to the table with next to nothing down. And that's the whole idea. And so I think the way I've heard it described the best, and I think Sam Young of Habitat, and of CLT does a good job of this, is saying, consider land trust homes the gap between renting and building no equity and the traditional home purchase where you're bringing $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 cash to the table, right, that many people cannot do. And so where I think the fallacy of why is this one not as good as this one, or why do they not get to keep the appreciation if they're in the house? Well, number one, because we have done for decades now the affordable housing plan where someone, it only has to stay affordable for X number of years, and then it goes back into the market rate pool. And so to be able to preserve those for decades of time that they stay affordable, you have to have that control in place. And so, again, I understand his point, but instead of the lottery system of one lucky family would get to buy it at $1 and sell it for $4 3 years later and put it right back into market rate inventory, I like the idea of being able to say, hey, let's keep this affordable for a long time. But it's just a matter of changing perspective, Andrew, I guess is my point. I mean, it is you can't look at the CLT model and say, well, wait, this is an unfair substitution of home ownership, because it's not meant to be a substitution for home ownership. This is for a different subset of people who are ready to build equity and generational wealth in their family, who aren't quite ready yet to be able to put down $40,000 cash.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that. I was baffled by his opposition. I was extra baffled by him saying it's socialism. Like the whole thing, I was sort of befuddled by all of it. Briefly, you mentioned yesterday, and we just shared your comments on it, so I don't want to belabor the point, but arm patches for PPD, we're going to go back to having one patch, like the PPD logo, and which I've said before, I don't like the new one. It's the Cracker Barrel logo. I now have that I can refer to.
Right.
I like the old one a lot. But we're going to get rid of the other patch and go with American flag as it used to be as new uniforms get produced, right?
That's right, yeah. So it won't be just purely from a cost, and, you know, they're not Velcroed on and off, right? They have to, you know, be, adhesive, it has to be used to get them on there. So basically from this point forward, every new uniform is going to have the American flag on it, which again, that's part of a conversation with Chief Brown, with Deputy Chief Goss. And hey, what was the goal here? As we saw a change in leadership is folks to have trust and confidence and feel more communicated with. And we've been surveying that and keeping an eye on that. And Chief Brown's done a good job. And, you know, someone may say, hey, well, you know, what does this have to do with public safety? Well, people feeling heard and feeling communicated with means they're happy to come to work. And when people are willing to be shot at for a living, I like those people being happy to come to work. And if these are things that give them more pride to suit up every day and put their lives in danger. It doesn't have to all be big things. It can be big things, little things, like I said yesterday, somewhere in between. But I think this is a no-brainer as an American. And I also think it's a no-brainer of having the pride in our force and putting this flag back on.
Yeah, and like you say, I mean, if the cops are asking for it, I mean, yes. That's a very easy thing to say yes to. I wanted to talk. I know we're not going to talk a lot in detail about Baptist because you're having this meeting tomorrow with the county attorney and the county administrator, Allison Moreno, Allison Rogers and Wes Moreno. But, you know, this whole thing is frustrating to me because you and I have talked so many times about this. Talked to Alex Andrade about this. You know, we've watched the county commission meetings. You don't own the land yet, though, right? It's still waiting to be taken possession of until all of these details are cleared up?
Right. Well, we have a donation agreement in place.
Right.
And we just haven't closed on it. So we have a signed donation agreement, and we have an add-on item that's coming this Thursday to our council to take the additional parcels that were right of first refusal parcels, and then actually that we're going to go ahead and take possession of those. And because we're already planning whether the county decides to live up to the contribution or not, we've got to be future planning here. And one of those potentials, as I mentioned to our council on Monday, would be, well, if we can sell these additional parcels that weren't included in the original donation at market rate and to the highest bidder, well, that's a way to help mitigate this drop in expectation of the $2 million that we've been talking about for 19 months. And that's why, you know, we get into a lot of hyperbole and kerfuffles over procurement, over Baptist, what they did this year, what they did that year. Listen, I take a step back and say, in January of 2024, we requested this $2 million. In March of 2024, the vote was 3-0 to support it. And they're whoever has said, but we didn't say exactly $2 million then, is absolutely right. But my position really is, okay, so is it $100? Is it $1,000? Is it $100,000? I mean, so if we say we support it, but the only thing I've been able to really hear so far is, well, I can't reason $2 million. We can't. Okay, well then tell us what is reasonable as a community partner, and then let us decide if that makes sense for us or not. I mean, I think that's all we're respectfully asking for, is put something on the table. And if we thumb our nose at it, then let us thumb our nose at it. And you say that's all we want to do. But all we ever debate is, I can't get to $2 million. I can't get to $2 million. Okay, well, that's what we've talked about for 19 months. And if you want to change that, go ahead and change that. But let's do something. Let's just do something and get this down the road. As I mentioned yesterday, you know, I know what no looks like, you know, I mean, it kind of looks like where we are right now. But you know, hopefully, and again, I want to work with staff again and see if we can get something that we believe is palatable. And I do want to address one thing. I've never, ever asked the county to use general fund dollars. I've never been specific about what types of color of money they have to use. So when it keeps getting mentioned that, you know, why we don't want to use general fund, I agree with it. I agree. I wouldn't want to use general fund. We've never requested that. It was about getting creative and finding other revenue streams, as we all have in our forms of government. So,
and there are some additional, and there are some additional creative ones that you guys are working on. I know we'll know more after the meeting tomorrow whether any of those ideas are going to, you know, really pan out or not. I wanted to talk with you about something you said yesterday that I thought was so interesting. We're always thinking about this affordable housing problem and how can we have more stock for the rising population, which puts upward pressure on prices, which makes the problem even worse. And you said that the land development code rewrite is going to work on this, but you said something very interesting. It's not so much any particular rules that are changing. It's simply making it so the rules are clear. The old code had conflicting provisions and unclear provisions. And the goal isn't necessarily to do any radical changes other than to make it clear so the developers know the rules, because if they know the rules, they'll invest and we'll be able to get houses built and we'll get them built faster because the process will be simpler. Do I basically have it right? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think nothing scares off a project faster than ambiguity. Can we do this or can we not? What are we allowed to do or not? As a matter of fact, we've gotten so granular in that, Andrew, that we've already had two meetings, and we're going to continue to have these 2-hour meetings where we tell every contractor, every architect, we email out everybody on our list, and we have a one-stop. It's got our permitting office, it's got our zoning office, it's got our historical preservation, our ARB staff, everybody in the room, just to say, you know, tell us what's working well and what isn't. And we actually have about 8 or 9 action items, just little things that you know, hey, I don't understand this in terms of our permit fee schedule, for example. Well, we're fixing that, because at the end of the day, those are the users that are not only going to be using the product that we're putting out as customers, but they're the ones building houses and investing in the city. And so I just feel like, you know, that if we can eliminate ambiguity around what you're allowed to do or not do, or how many months it's supposed to take. And, you know, we're really trying to change the mentality that, let's say Andrew's building a house and he doesn't hear back from our permitting office. How proactive are governments, local governments normally? You know,
right.
Many times we just sit back and then in 60 days, Andrew emails and says, hey, what's been going on with my project? And we say, oh, well, you didn't click this button. And we've really tried to change that to say, hey, we should be calling you and saying, hey, Andrew, it's been 30 days. We saw nothing's happening. No big deal. Just want to check on you, you know, make sure everything's going well. That's what you would do in private business, and that's what you would do in terms of customer service, because we want these projects to finish, right? We want the tax base. We want more people living here. So
you mean you're actually asking the people who use the service that the city provides how to do that service better? What's wrong with you? Did you, like, run a private business where you had to appeal to customers and satisfy their desires and respond to their complaints? It's so weird.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what, you know, I'm sure all our employees are tired of hearing me say, but they've done a great job of responding too, which is, what does the customer see? What is the customer experience? And it's just, in our case, customers are citizens, whether they're building a house or they're, whatever they're doing, whatever, you know, getting their garbage, whatever the interaction is with the city, you know, we should be looking at it that way, that these are paying customers, that is, whether through their tax dollars or through a subscription or anything else. And so, you know, our team's done a great job of really responding to that. And I think, to your point about the land development code, that's what happens when you don't overhaul it at one time over two decades, basically. You're going to get Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids on top of Band-Aids that end up not really making sense. And so that isn't anybody's fault in the building. I think that's just the natural progression and why it's so important to give clarity. At the end of the day, clarity and transparency about what you can and can't do when you build in the city of Pensacola, I think it's going to get us a long, long way.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with all of it. In fact, you know, I was listening to the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting from Monday, and they're talking about having to, you know, deal with the shortfall of funds kind of thing. And, you know, we can't keep building in a deficit. And Colton Wright made the comment, which, you know, he's a business owner, and he says, look, you know, if you ran a business like this, it wouldn't last long. We got to learn how to run government more like a business. And you're coming at it from the other side, not the funding side as much as the, hey, a business is supposed to take care of customers. Who's our customers? Our citizens. Who uses the service? Well,
right.
You know, let's take care of them. Let's figure that out. At this point, are you looking much into the future of what happens if property taxes go away? And because the reason I ask is, again, it's fresh in my mind watching the commission meeting in Santa Rosa County, is they're basically raising the level of fees in order to pay for services that people use from the people who use them,
right,
instead of general revenue property taxes, also thinking that, hey, property taxes are going to go away and we're going to have to go more in this direction anyway. Have you guys started to anticipate and plan for that, or are you kind of still waiting to see what really comes out of session?
Yeah, I think it would be too speculative. You know, obviously we had talked, we worked with our council and lowered our initial Pensacola energy transfer, for example. We know that's something else that's on the chopping block. So, you know, I think we're being mindful of it, of course. But, you know, again, I challenge the resident that supports a property tax cut. I just challenge the resident to say, would you like to lose services, or would you like to pay it a different way? Because you can't have both. You
right.
It 34% of our general fund can't go away. And just two numbers that I wish everybody, at least in the city, understood, is we only have $22 million of property tax that goes into our general fund. Our bill only for police and fire, only for that, is about $48 million. So we can talk all we want about, you know, who is doing this program and how, you know, that costs $50,000 and all that. That's a pebble in the pond for what we're having to deal with. So if you want less service or you want a 15% sales tax, I don't know what the discussion is going to be.
Right.
I think it's going to land on, my guess is, it's something a little more reasonable. Maybe it's homesteaded properties where somebody's already paid it off, or, you know, something like that, where it starts to become a smaller fraction. But we just don't know, because all we ever hear is the kind of the gaslighting argument of, well, why don't we just eliminate property tax?
Right.
Okay.
Well, money has to come from somewhere.
Either tell me how we're going to replace it, or tell me what services, you know. You can't ask about sidewalks. You can't ask about playgrounds. You can't. I mean, that would absolutely gut the budget for our own public safety, which, of course, is our number one concern. So, you know, there's realities on the other side. This is not a free money discussion. There's realities on the other side. I don't mean that we can't be more efficient. I don't mean that at all. I just mean there's other harsh realities on the other side of just not having a property tax as a revenue stream.
Right. And the notion that, well, you know, local government is just wasting its money. We'll send in the Doge team and fix it all, and therefore we can cut property tax. Everything will be fine. Yeah, well, okay, I'll buy a bridge in Brooklyn for that price, too. So, you know, I just don't buy it. Hey, let's we always like to end with the lightning round. Quick questions for you. First one is, if there were such a thing as an all-you-can-eat fast food place, you know, there used to be Pizza Hut. There's this fake news story about a McDonald's in Branson doing it for $13. What would your all-you-can-eat fast food place be, and what would you pay to do it?
Well, I mean, I think today I would imagine Chick-fil-A would have to be the one of the best. But I'm a Ninth Avenue Pizza Hut man.
There you go.
That was where I would turn my in my book it receipt for the.
Oh, nice! You read some books there, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that buffet. I can tell you exactly where it was when I walked in. Now, maybe not in the whatever, you know, 10 other restaurants it's been since then, but I remember exactly. Where that buffet line was on Ninth Avenue.
The reading books to get credits and different things. Man, that's a flashback. I remember that for sure. Second question for you today: is there something that stands out to you as a thing that's easy for you to understand that you're always a bit surprised when you encounter other people struggle with it? I think of like time zones. I'm always amazed that people struggle with time zones or, you know, tablespoons to teaspoons. Those kinds of anything that really stands out to you that you're always surprised people don't understand.
I would say, yeah, how my memory works. It would be like geography, or actually also like travel. I do like all my own travel, all that stuff. I've always been like the travel planner nerd.
Oh, so, okay.
That's the one where like, I will just go over someone's head cause I just assume they know, you know, how to look up this.
You know how to be your own travel agent. They don't. Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah.
Last one is very personal. How often do you clean your cell phone?
How often do I clean my cell phone? Oh, God. not enough.
And then how do you clean it? Are you an alcohol wipes kind of person? Are you a rub it on your shirt kind of person? Or are you just, you know?
It's like once I see enough fog on the front, I'll use my shirt. I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, I don't have any chemicals in my desk to clean my phone. But I'll order them on Amazon now that you have humiliated me.
No. It's your
my amazing.
Well, I mean, if it's humiliating to be like Andrew McKay, I guess, but you know, I am a never, but I will wipe it on my shirt or my pants when I feel like it.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's it.
All right. I'm more organic like that. You know, that's how I do it.
Yeah, you're saving the planet. That's right. DC, organic in a different sense. DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, sir, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks so much.